business continuity planning sounds like the latest trendy business theory pulled from some professor's latest bestseller. But actually, as crisis communications expert Bruce Hennis explains in part two of this interview, business continuity planning is an increasingly important part of running your business. It has evolved over time. As Web 2.0 tools are adopted by more and more people, your strategies must change as well. So Bruce tells us about dark websites and gives his opinion on anonymous blog postings, for example. He'll even give some advice if a word or two you wish you hadn't said slips out in an interview.
Coming to you from the world-renowned Magnum Building on beautiful Payne Avenue in the heart of Cleveland, Ohio, it's the entrepreneur himself, Dan Hansen, bringing you the Great Lakes Geek Show.
You know, Bruce, I thought I knew pretty much all there was to know about the internet and the web, but you've got a phrase called a dark website. Tell us what a dark website is and how it fits in with this new discipline called business continuity planning.
Well, business continuity planning is basically the science and the planning and the execution of taking care of anything that can hurt you or your business or your nonprofit from fulfilling its mission or staying in business for some period of time. And you think about all the different things that can knock you out of business. I mean, the obvious one is a hacker attack or a loss of data or, your computer's crash. And that's why everybody, even people with small home businesses, most people by now know that they need to back up their data from time to time. But how many small and medium-sized companies have really given any thought to the science of business continuity planning, which is to try to anticipate situations like what happens if we have a three-day snowstorm? All right, and your trucks can't get out to do deliveries. What happens if there is a problem on the East Coast or the West Coast with the shipping, and all of a sudden the supplier of your critical component for your manufacturing process can't get you that widget or whatever it might be because you're involved in that, what do they call it, just-in-case delivery. So you have to worry about your suppliers upstream and downstream being able to take care of the things that are important to you. Who knew? Remember 3 summers ago when we had the power blackout? Who knew that when we lose power for a day, we lose water?
Had no idea.
Right. Think about all the manufacturers that need water for their manufacturing processes, all right, who were knocked out of business. That's called business continuity planning, which is to try to anticipate all of those things that could stop you from being in business. Our piece of that puzzle is crisis communications planning, which is a sliver of business continuity planning, where we work with clients to try to anticipate the terrible things that might befall them and get ready for a response, an instant response to all of those things. Because again, as I mentioned before, the 24/7 news cycle now, you can't wait till something gets in the newspaper and then respond a day later. You asked about dark websites. Dark websites are something that we recommend to all of our clients when they're putting together their crisis communications plan. Depending upon the scenario, what information might you want reporters, the neighbors, the public, your suppliers, whomever, what information might you want to make available to them on the internet when it happens, but not today? Give you an example, maybe high-resolution pictures of your company, maybe high-resolution logos. You may have that stuff on your website right now, but those are low-res, all right, because you want them to load fast. But, you might want to have a high-resolution there, so if the plane dealer or Cranes Cleveland Business does something on your firm, they have access in the middle of the night to a high-resolution photo or image, whatever the case might be. You might want to put executive biographies. God forbid, your CEO gets killed or something. You might want to have biographies up there. There's a whole long list of items that you might want to have up on a website. And the beauty, and what you do is you put them on what we call a dark website where they're password protected. The beauty of that is, A, you don't have to call your IT person at 4 o'clock in the morning and say, oh, my God, you got to get ABCD up on the website and get him or her out of bed. And number two, you can have your lawyer vet everything in a nice leisurely manner instead of in a panic situation.
That just makes sense when you think about doing that in advance, being prepared for that. You preach honesty, telling the truth, telling it first, telling it all.
That's what we tell our clients. Tell the truth, tell it all, and tell it first.
We see a lot of, in the Web 2.0 world, bloggers who will be either anonymous or using an assumed name or even pretending they're someone else. What's your opinion on that?
Again, it's very consistent with tell the truth, tell it all, and tell it first is also telling our clients, don't ever, ever, ever blog under an assumed name. Don't use your spouse's account. Don't get a free Gmail account. Somehow, some way, you know, you hit the wrong button, you do a what you think is a blind CC, whatever it might be, all of a somebody, you know, track, look what happened to all the people who were on Wikipedia changing wiki entries until that guy developed that piece of software to show who's making the changes. Exactly. And all of a sudden, you had government agencies, you had big businesses in the United States who were totally outed, totally embarrassed, because there are no secrets anymore. All right? Ironclad rule, transparency, don't lie.
Yeah, this is great information as always, Bruce. And let me just ask your opinion on one item from the news this week. On the Today Show, in an interview with Meredith Vieira, Jane Fonda used a word that's offensive to many, and whether she intended to use it or it slipped out, I think we can relate to sometimes a word slips out that we wouldn't want our priest or minister or rabbi to hear, or our mother or grandmother. And what kind of advice, if you're doing an interview and a vulgar word or something slips out that you wish you could take back, what would be some good advice?
Dan, actually, I didn't hear that. What word was that, Dan? Can you tell me? What? it depends on what the context was. I mean, if when you say if it really inadvertently slipped out and it wasn't used for let's call poetic effect or whatever, you know, I think the thing to do is to acknowledge it. It's not like nobody heard it. Is to acknowledge it. You know, whether it's an oh my gosh or I'm really sorry I said that, and then to make an apology, because you know what, I learned this a long time ago. I probably got off on the wrong track when I was a young person growing up in the '60s. You know. We were very comfortable using what are considered four-letter words and vulgar words, and I'm not proud of the fact that every so often one of those words slips into my vocabulary. But you know, I'm comfortable around those words. I'm not offended by those words. But I was reminded of this a couple of years ago. We had a secretary who was working for us who came in and said, "This is before I opened my own business." Who came into our office and said, "Look, I have to leave here." And we said, "Why?" And she said, "Because I'm offended by the use of your language here." And you know, it really reminded me that I can't look at things just through my eyes. There are people in this world who legitimately are offended by the use of certain words and their context. And I don't think it's so much that we have to be so politically correct that we can't say anything, but I think a little sensitivity is well worth the effort.
Well, listeners, you've gotten a taste here of Bruce's great advice. Be sure to follow the links on this page to sign up for his free email newsletter. You'll learn a lot of interesting stuff, some things that can really save you from some embarrassment and financial loss, and even financial ruin. So we've been speaking with crisis communications expert Bruce Hennis today. Thanks, Bruce.
Dan, thank you very much. You do a great service for the greater Cleveland community. We really do appreciate it.
You've been listening to the Great Lakes Geek Show. Come back soon at www.greatlakesgeek.com.